Oh yeah, it's another season. It's the real season. Sunday Night Football, can you believe it? All of America, all of the world will be watching in Dallas. It is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers starting the season. The GOAT is back, a new head coach in Todd Bowles against Jerry Jones's Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott. Let's do it. This is Bucs Kickoff. I'm back for another year. Honored to be at the baddest, best Buccaneer website, JoeBucsFan.com, exclusively with the boys at Joe Bucs Fan. I have been at One Buc Place. I have been there all off season at all of the OTAs, the mini camps, training camp, every practice, the joint practice against the Miami Dolphins, the preseason game, inside the building, inside the locker room again. Yes, the first time in 3 years, I am your inside source. And on this Bucs Kickoff podcast, which you're only going to hear right here, it's my Under the Rock segment. What I have seen, what I have learned, being inside the building, being at One Buc. We'll get into the Cowboys. Thank you so much. I'm going to also tell you about my favorite place now. Oh my God, Burger Monger. But let's get right to it. You ready? Let's do it. All right, you can only go by last year, right? I mean, the preseason, I don't even like these preseason games anymore. I know the coaches are looking to see who's on the bubble and who's going to play, but the starters don't play. I mean, the number ones on offense for the Buccaneers played, what, one series, looked pretty good. Dallas didn't even play their starters. Dak Prescott hasn't played. We got to go off of last year's opening regular season game at Raymond James Stadium. That was a hell of a game. Remember that? Where Dak Prescott had been coming off the ankle surgery. Nobody knew what to expect. He ended up going 42 of 58, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick, 403 yards. But the Buccaneers pulled it out. Tom Brady, you cannot give the GOAT 124 on the clock. He leads them down, suck up, hits the field goal. Brady with 4 tutties, 2 interceptions. He threw for 379. He threw for 50 yards. The Buccaneers won that game 31-29, but that was last year. What about this year? All right, the Dallas Cowboys, they're going to be able to score. They can move the chains. Do you know last year they were the highest scoring team in all of the NFL, averaging 31 points a game? Their defense, they can get turnovers. At least they were last year. Number one in turnovers, they had 26 picks. They were bounced in the playoffs, and Dak and some of the players said they didn't come out, you know, with energy or whatever. They lost to Amari Cooper. They don't have Collins. They don't have Randy Gregory. The big deal in this game, to me, is going to be won or lost in the trenches. You know, Joe Bucs Fan, one of the Joes, had a great comment after the opener, the NFL regular season opener in L.A. at SoFi. What happened in that game? What happened to Matt Stafford? He was running for his life. He was under siege. What was he sacked? 7 times? Joe had a great comment. This would be the Buccaneers' worst nightmare. Brady is starting this game with a rookie at left guard, and he's moved from a tackle where he played in college at Central Michigan, Luke Gedecky, and he's never played an NFL game. He's starting at left guard. Robert Hainsey is making his first ever NFL start at center. You got Shaq Mason, who's making his Buccaneer debut at right guard. However, Brady said, I'm not concerned about him. I love him. We were on the Patriots together. And then you got Tristan Wirfs at right tackle, and you got the big man at left tackle protecting Brady's side. But again, Bruce Arians, who's now a consultant, was doing one of these New York media tours last week. And in one of the interviews that he did, he admitted that the offensive line right now, it's a work in progress. It's not going to be the same offensive line as you're going to see Sunday night here in this game compared to what it's going to be in week number 8. But we're concerned about this game, and I think that's going to be the factor. Look, their defensive coordinator likes to bring the pressure, Dan Quinn. They've got Micah Parsons, who is so damn good. But also on the other side, remember, their starting left offensive tackle, Tyron Smith, is out, and the Dallas Cowboys got to go with the rookie, Tyler Smith, in this game. Now, Brady has never lost to the Cowboys. He's 6-0. He's 2-0 against Dak Prescott. 13-9 against the Patriots was his final season game with the Patriots in 2019 in Foxborough. That's a little bit of, a little bit of history for you. The Cowboys, you want to talk about pressure? They have not played in a Super Bowl in 26 years. 26 years. 96 when Aikman led them to a win over the Steelers. But this year's Cowboys, Buccaneer team against this Dallas Cowboys, what's new with the Bucs this year? There's no Gronk, all right? There's no Antonio Brown. What do they got? Julio Jones, I'm going to get to him. I'll tell you flat out right now, he has been the best Buccaneer player this offseason, this training camp to me. It's unreal. Julio Jones is in, Russell Gage, he's going to be your slot guy until they can get Godwin, you know, 100% all game, and then tight end Kyle Rudolph. The Dallas Cowboys are talented. They're a decent defense. They're very good on offense, but too many penalties last season. And the Buccaneers, in that win to open up at Raymond James last year, and Bowles was just talking about this at the end of the week, they had 11 penalties and 4 turnovers. He said, we were lucky to get that win. They were like that. They undisciplined early on under Arians. I didn't understand it, but Bowles is the new head coach now. I'll fill you in on the differences, and there isn't really that much. It isn't that much of a change. The players know him. It's been the same offensive system, the same defensive system. He's learned what he's not going to do, what he did with the Jets, is be his own man now, not listen to everybody else, but he knows the building, he knows the people, he knows everybody around, so it's really been not that much of a change. The Dallas Cowboys on opening day, in the last 6 years, are 2-4, okay? The Cowboys on offense, they're going to rely with Dak, CeeDee Lamb, Dalton Schultz, Zeke Elliott, and Pollard to move the chains. Their wide receivers with Lamb number one, wide receiver two is the rookie, Jalen Tolbert. He has leapfrogged Noah Brown. And the defense, like I said, Dan Quinn, be prepared to get some pressure. All right, what we're going to do is I'm going to give you the matchups. I know you want to know the matchups. I got another podcast, The Rock Stops Here, and I go more in depth on body language, what I've learned about Brady inside, but I know you guys want to know about football, and that's what we're going to do. So let me get to these matchups, and then I'm going to get to my Under the Rock segment on what I have seen during this training camp, being in the building, being in the locker room. That's coming up. But first, let me tell you about my favorite place to chow down, and that is Burger Monger. Chop House Burgers and Bar Stool Shakes. You gotta go. If you're gonna go in for the burger, you gotta go for the shake. 4 Tampa Bay locations: Carrollwood, St. Pete, Safety Harbor, Wesley Chapel. Now, in my family, we try the one at Safety Harbor. Carrollwood is next for us. These hand-pressed burger patties are just, it's a blend of ground chuck, sirloin, beef. They are hand-pressed on the grill to a perfect char, maximum flavor. And you can craft your burger from a whole bunch of different cheeses. Pick one out. You got fresh toppings, sauces, or if you can't make up your mind, that happened to my wife, you just try their delicious house-crafted recipe burgers. They got some great recipes. They'll do it for you. The Burger Monger shakes are made with natural hand-scooped ice cream, hand-spun thick and creamy and topped with whipped cream, and also the toppings to go with it. They have 6 unbelievable flavors: very vanilla, simply strawberry, mine is chocolate fudge, cookies and cream, caramel crave, and my daughter loves the Snickers Supreme. Now, one of the best kept secrets, all right, going to Burger Monger, it's not only a burger. My wife said, do they have chicken sandwiches? Do they have chicken sandwiches? Amazing, large, marinated chicken breast, grilled or fresh breaded and deep fried to order. They're craveable sides. You ready? Natural cut fries, sweet potato waffle fries, that's what I like, and the house-made hand-battered onion rings. And last but not least, this is limited time only at a Burger Monger near you, okay? Just in time for this Buccaneer winning season. They're offering the Let's Freaking Go Burger, the LFG Burger. 2 patties, 12 ounces of beef, chopped lettuce, provolone cheese, applewood smoked bacon, fresh avocado slices, and they finish it off with a drizzle of peppercorn ranch dressing. You know how much this bad boy goes for? $12. That's it. You can have it for days if you can't finish it. Burger Monger. Go there. You'll be happy that I sent you there. All right, let me get to some of the matchups. I talked about the offensive line. You got to protect Brady. Is he going to tweak? Is Leftwich going to tweak this game plan a little bit, shorter passes? But when you listen to Todd Bowles, he's like, look, they're rookies. Any rookie is not going to know everything and is going to be in a learning situation. But they didn't go out and get anybody when Ryan Jensen went down, okay? They're going with Hainsey. They're going with the rookie at left guard, okay? They did get Shaq Mason. What you see is what you get, Brady, you know? So against that Cowboys defense, the defense is good. Micah Parsons is just, he can, I mean, oh my God. As a rookie, he led with 13 sacks. When you get to the secondary, when Brady's going to try to go to his wideouts, Trevon Diggs, he led the NFL with 11 picks. And the thing about the Cowboys defense, they're very good at creating turnovers. They had 8 defensive touchdowns last year. Okay. Now, I'm not going to go by last year's stats with the Buccaneers offensive line because it's a totally new offensive line. Do you realize last year how good Brady had it? Now, part of it is he knows what he's doing and he gets rid of it quick. The Buccaneers threw the most passes in all the NFL, yet they allowed the fewest sacks. Think about that. They threw more than anybody and had the less sacks. You're not going to get that. Get close to that. Maybe get 75% of that in this game. What about the Cowboys offensive line going up against that Buccaneers front? Now, left tackle Tyron Smith is out with a hammy. That's hurting. That's going to hurt them. They got the rookie Tyler Smith that's going to be in there in place of Tyson Smith. They do have an all-pro guard in Zach Martin. But remember, since last year, the Cowboys lost Collins. That was a cap casualty. They lost their left guard, Connor Williams. He went the free agency route. Will the Cowboys try to run it a little bit more? Last year, they abandoned the run in this game. They went with 58 passes, but they also went with a lot of short passes for Dak Prescott. The Buccaneer defense, there's no more like, oh, they're young and this and that. Look, it's the same system that Todd Bowles is using. They're no longer young. They were good last year. They allowed the 6th fewest points in the NFL. Hopefully, they won't have to blitz as much. I'm looking at the key to me, Joe Tryon Shoyinka. Now, I talked to him after one of the joint practices alone, and he told me that it is a world of difference this year from last year. He was using his athleticism. He was running around with kind of like a chicken with his head cut off. Now, everything comes naturally. He doesn't have to react. He knows where to be. He put on a little bit more muscle, but yet he's still just as quick. And remember, in this game, he is going to be going against the rookie left tackle, Tyler Smith, who is going to try to protect Prescott's blind side. So this is a perfect opportunity for Tryon Shoyinka to have a big game. Take advantage of this because you're not going to be going up against many inexperienced left tackles, Joe. So this is your night. And then Shaq Barrett, he can stay at outside linebacker. He doesn't have to move around quite as much. All right, let's go to another matchup. Brady and the weapons on offense versus the Cowboys defensive secondary. Bottom line, Brady's going to hit the open man. He's done it all camp. 11 on 11, joint practices. He looked good in the opening series in that last preseason game. Evans, Gage, Julio. Cambry, Kyle Rudolph are your tight ends. And then they're going to bring in Breshad Perriman, Jalen Darden, and Scotty Miller. Gage, now it's interesting. Julio Jones has been the best Buccaneer for me in camp. I've seen him in the red zone, make some incredible catches. I've seen him do the toe tap right at the, as he's going out of bounds. He's taller than you think. He's very, very talented. He's on the same page as Brady. Brady, he said when he got here, Brady gave him the call. And Brady said, I need you to be here. and he wanted to get the ring. He's going to be Hall of Fame. Yes, I know it didn't work out in Tennessee, but the thing about it is, when we were in the locker room on Thursday, he was saying that this is the first year he can remember he's healthy. There's not one thing that's nagging him. Nothing. So I think this was a huge pickup. And Brady, who was kind of like low-key for his media session the other day, you know, he's a little skinnier and he doesn't seem to be that happy. But whatever. When Julio Jones's name was brought up, that was the first question by Stroud. He kind of lit up and he's like, he's here for all the right reasons. Julio Jones also told us that in all the wide receiver rooms that he's been in, this is one of the first ones that there's no ego. There's no, like, it's, we want to win. We don't care how many balls we get. Listen, I have been covering the NFL for at least 30 years. And you always have at least one diva in every wide receiver group that's more concerned about their numbers than they are about anything else. Trust me. And Godwin is not like that. Evans is not like that. Julio doesn't have to be the man. When he went to Tennessee, he was the man. Godwin and Evans are the man. So he can just, it's beautiful. I think it's a beautiful thing, and I'm expecting Julio Jones to have a really, really good game in this bad boy. Where are Gronk's catches going to go? That has been the question. Now, I asked Todd Bowles about who's going to work that slot until they can get Godwin to play an entire game and be back to his old self. It's going to be Russell Gage. Now, Gage has had this nagging hamstring, but he's also had a lot of time that they've taken their time with him. He should be fine for this game. I asked Brady about Gage, and he said that, you know, Gage had the injury. You know, Gage, he likes what Gage is doing, but we won't know until we get in game situations. And Brady has even said it takes sometimes even years to really get familiar with wide receivers, but we don't have that time. And I'm talking about this game. He's like, I don't know. We have to see what our identity is. You got to get in game situations till we know. I don't know, but he looks good. And when Julio Jones came here, and I was there for that press conference, and he said, Gage is now the star. Like when he was in Atlanta, it was Julio. He's like, no, he's young. He's fast still. He's going to be good, but we'll see, because he has had a hamstring now for several weeks. And the matchup is going to be Gage in the slot and against the nickel corner, Jordan Lewis. Lewis is good. Lewis sometimes can even blitz. Now, one more matchup to check out for you guys. The Buccaneers D, okay, against the Cowboys run. It's a two-headed back monster of Zeke and Pollard. And it cracks me up. So many, Zeke is done. Zeke is done. You know what? Zeke still had 1,000 yards last year. He averaged 4.2 yards per carry, 10 touchdowns. He's still a load. Is he the same player that he once was? No. But who is? Now, how are they going to stop the run? Devin White continued. It's an old saying. They want to stop the run first. And what the Buccaneers are hoping for is that Vita Vea up front and the nice big addition, Akeem Hicks, will at times have to get double teamed, because Vita can just, he's going to win one-on-one battles. Akeem Hicks is a stud too. If that does happen, that would free up Devin White and Levante to rush the gap and stop the run. So those are just some of the matchups that I like in this game. All right, here's my new segment. Let me see what we got here. I got a new segment, and it's called Under the Rock. It's basically what I have seen. It's kind of like my behind the scenes, okay? I've been at mini camps. I've been at OTAs. We're now allowed inside the locker room and practices, watching all the practice you can do at training camp and then the joint practices. Here's what I've noticed. When Brady is on the field, there's just a different vibe. Everything is amped up when Brady is not here. Now, I know Jason Light, general manager Jason Light, I got a lot of respect. I think he's been very, very successful. Look, they got a Super Bowl. Look at what they did last year. The 13 regular season wins almost went all the way. Almost doesn't count, but hell of a year. And here they're back as contenders again. Jason Light on the Buccaneer Radio Network, last preseason game before, said, you know, Brady has established this standard that even when he's not around, it's still, everybody is still at this high standard. I watched those, when those days when Brady was not there and it was Gabbert and Trask leading it, and Gabbert has got a damn good arm. And Arians thinks this is the best he's ever seen him because he's been in this system for so long, not only here, but in Arizona. It's different when Brady is. It's just different. It's just different. Everybody is on their toes. They seem to have to be a little bit sharper. They know they don't want to let the goat down. That's what I have noticed. Another thing, to me, Brady's arm is still so strong. On the money and so strong. Let me give you an example. I've been listening to these Dallas Cowboys on the Cowboys website. All right, their official website. They got these podcasts. One of the guys on there the other day, and I almost drove off the road. He's like, well, you know, Brady just can't make the long throw, the deep throw anymore. He's not able to make those sideline throws. He just doesn't. He's 45 years old. So it's going to be short and over the middle. No, Brady does like to go over the middle. That's this offense that came from Arians. But where are you getting that Brady doesn't have a strong arm? Jim Miller is a host on Sirius XM NFL Radio. And I had him on. I'm going to play him, I think, next week on one of my podcasts. But I saw him at Bucs training camp. He was there with Pat Kerwin. And I said, so what do you think of the GOAT? And he goes, he's not as stiff as when I was with him in New England. He's even more fluid. He looks even better. Arians and Light both think that Brady's arm now is better than when he was with the Patriots. So anybody that's telling you that Brady at 45 years old has lost his arm strength, bullshit. I've watched. I'm telling you, I don't know if it's the plyometrics, the TB12 method. I don't know if he's a freak of nature, but his arm strength is just as good and is as good as anybody that I've ever seen in the NFL. Leonard Fournette. Now, Leonard Fournette, did he let himself go right after the offseason? Yeah, he did. Did he probably get embarrassed on social media? There was a picture of Leonard Fournette. See, the thing about it, what it is now is, compared to in the past, if you're out of shape, and even though you don't post a picture or a video, but somebody's got a phone, and if you're Leonard Fournette, somebody's going to take a picture of you, and that's going to be posted, and then here come the comments. And don't think that Lenny doesn't see that. Lenny took it upon himself to go to this, it's not a fat farm, it's an in-shape farm in the offseason. He was with other NFL wide receivers, and he was on the treadmill, and he started taking the pounds off. Then when we got to minicamp, he was getting in good shape. Didn't look that bad to me. We asked Todd Bowles, is Leonard Fournette out of shape? You know what he said? He goes, there's no player in June that's in their peak shape. It's impossible. And Lenny goes, look, I come from a family with big genes. Everybody's big. I was 5 feet away from him in the locker room on this week. And I'm telling you what, man, for a guy that's thick, he doesn't have any body fat and he hasn't lost a step. Now, he was never a burner, but don't think that, oh, Fournette is out of shape. Bull crap. Julio Jones, to me, has been the most impressive in camp. He's not injured at all. For the first time, he said, nothing is bothering him. He's not, no nagging injuries. He also is the crowd favorite. You know, it used to be Gronk that got the biggest pop. It's Julio Jones. And he hears it. He appreciates it. He and Brady are on the same page. Very, very impressive. Now, the one thing that had surprised me when I first heard about the cuts was that Tyler Johnson was let go, because Tyler Johnson, to me, looked just with my eyeballs, seemed to be making a lot of the catches. He's taller than Jalen Darden and Scotty Miller and this and that. But Bowles said the reason why Scotty Miller and Jalen Darden are on this 53-man roster, Tyler Johnson is not, it's because he didn't play special teams. Scotty Miller and Jalen Darden are returners. Miller is used as a gunner. And, you know, all this thing about Brady as a connection. Bowles goes, that's not the case. It's because what can you do for me? How valuable are you to us on this team? And Tyler Johnson wasn't as valuable. And that's it. Now, one thing about Jalen Darden, I was like, look, he's not that good of a return. At least he wasn't last year. Does he really stand out? Yeah, he's got the speed. I know Arians said, oh, it stands out on the film, his speed. We were in the locker room talking to Nacho, the big defensive tackle. And one of the reporters, I was right there, asked Nacho, Nacho, who has been the biggest standout to you this preseason, this training camp? You know who Nacho said? Jalen Darden. Anytime a peer or a player gives me a take or an opinion, I value that more than anybody, any reporter, any insider. It's like when players are voted for, let's say, the captaincy, okay, like Brady, Evans, Labonte, Devin White, Vita. That means more to them because those guys are there. They're in the locker room. They're in team meetings. They're on the practice field. Nobody knows better than them. That was coming from Nacho with Jalen Darden. I just thought I'd throw that out there for you. Let's see. Scotty Miller has had a good camp. Okay. Rashad Perryman, I haven't seen much of him. The offensive line, when they would do drills, especially when they had their pads on during training camp, it was always Hainsey going one-on-one with Nick Leverett. I remember last year during practices and even during camp, if there was a break in the action with the ones and they were waiting, Brady was taking snaps from Hainsey last year. And that shows you that even if it's like 100 degrees and you think he'd take a little breather, nah, he would get down and have Hainsey snap into him. Because remember, Hainsey was getting used to a new position. So they didn't go out and get anybody. Bowles is like, look, they're rookies, but this is what we're going with. So we're going to see on Sunday night. But oh, the D-line with Golston and Vita, Akeem Hicks, they're going to rotate in Nacho. Pat O'Connor has been getting better and better. They really like him. And the second-round pick, Logan Hall, is interesting. He goes 6'6", 290. But when you look at him, he looks like he could be a power forward. Like, he's not slow. Somebody 290, you expect to be a little bit slower. Not the case. And one of the coaches was saying the other day, it's like, for Vita, Akeem Hicks, Golston, Nacho, they're going to get to the quarterback. It's just going to take them a little longer than a guy like Logan Hall. But Logan Hall reminds me of kind of what like Joe Tryon Shoyenko was going through last year. He doesn't know yet. You know what I mean? He's so athletic. You can see the potential is there. And the good thing is they're going to rotate him in. So he'll be interesting to watch. Bruce Arians is still around. I know I get a lot of questions. He's been at every practice. He's on his golf cart. And he also watches every position group. It's not only the quarterbacks and the wide receivers who go over to the special teams and this and that. Now, from what I was told in the building, he's not there all day. He's not hanging until, 6, 7 o'clock at night. But he's a good sounding board for Bowles, for Jason Light, for some of the coaches, even Gabbert. There were times when Brady was on that 11-day planned absence, I would see Gabbert after a play or after a series with the ones, he'd go over to Bowles and maybe ask Arians. So, this one thing, and I'm only going to make this one short because this is the kickoff and this is just getting down and dirty. I'll tell you this. So much has been made of Brady said, oh, I am not coming back if Arians is here. And it was very strange how it all went down very, very fast. But if Brady did not want Bruce Arians there, he would not have an office in the building. He would not be around the team, out at practice, being inside the building. The Glazers would have said, Bruce, thank you for bringing us a Super Bowl. You did a wonderful thing. We're going to put you in the Ring of Honor. We're going to move on. Thank you for what you did for us. We'll see you at the Ring of Honor ceremony. That would be it. They wouldn't have him around. If Brady didn't want him around, he wouldn't be around. That thing was blown way out of proportion in my estimation. Now, what really went down, We'll probably never know. There was something strange about the whole thing. But my point is, Bruce Arians is there, and he's giving his opinion, and he's watching, and some of the players still come over to him. Todd Bowles, what's going to be the difference? Bowles said he is not going to do what he did with the Jets. What was that? Listen to this front office person. Listen here. Because look, it was his first gig as a head coach. These jobs are so hard to get. Sometimes you get a big, big, big opportunity and you're like, oh, I got to see what he's going to say. Oh, I better make sure I don't offend him. Oh, Bowles goes, no, I'm my own man now. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. He also said it's not that big of a transition because think about it. Most new head coaches are going into a team that has sucked. They fired their coach. They didn't have a winning record. They had to go with a new guy. Bowles is taking over a championship team, and he knows the personnel. It's also the same defense, and he's going to call it. It's the same offense with Leftwich and Brady. He is in a great situation. He's tweaked a few things. He's brought back music. They stretch as a team. Arians used to say, when you get on the field and practice starts at this time, your ass is mine. You stretch on your own. Nah, now they're stretching as a team. They got some music playing. He said Donovan Smith is the one that usually picks out the music. Give us one old school, one smooth jazz, one Motown, maybe something like that, blues. And then you guys can have your thing. But really, other than that, and they use one field now in practice instead of two. Other than that, there's really not much of a difference between Bowles and Arians. Also, my under the rock, Byron Leftwich, he's been very quiet this camp. He hasn't done much media. You know, he wanted a head coaching job. He didn't get it. It's probably better off that he didn't. He's in a situation with another year with a lot of weapons. Brady. So he's been just doing his thing kind of under the radar. And it also seemed like a little bit of a shorter camp to me, maybe because that was the two joint practices with the Dolphins and the two at Tennessee. The one thing that I will say I think was really valuable to the Buccaneers during the practices against the Miami Dolphins, when I saw the number ones for the Dolphins led by Tua and Tyreek Hill, who is damn near uncoverable, when you are down low watching, holy shizit. I don't know who can cover this guy. I'm not kidding you. He is, it's not only his fast, it's quickness, his moves, his jukes. Holy crap. And the thing about it is, when we started watching the Miami Dolphins offense, they do a lot of misdirection. They do end arounds. They do a lot of rolling out right and left with Tua. That's something that the Buccaneer offense doesn't do. So that was really valuable for the Miami Dolphins, or for the Buccaneers defense, going up against the Miami Dolphins in those joint practices. Now, there's also not going to be any excuses for this one. Bowles was saying that they practiced in the heat. When it was time to go indoors, they did. So there should be no excuses if they come out sluggish after a hot training camp. No. This is in a controlled environment. Albeit it's going to be loud. It's going to be, the juices are going to be flowing. The adrenaline's going to be flowing in Jerry's world. And it's on Sunday Night Football. And it's Tirico. And it's Collinsworth. And it's Michelle Stark. And at halftime, it's Dungy. And you're going to see Chris Sims. And it's a Sunday Night Football. And the whole world is watching and all that. But my point is, there's no excuses. Okay? You got an indoor facility now. When it's too hot, or there might be lightning, or it's time you can cool off, you get used to playing indoors. Like this one, the roof is closed. So this is going to be an inside game in Dallas. Next week in the Superdome in New Orleans is indoors. You're going to be on turf. They can simulate that. You have beautiful turf outside. You're in your own facility. You know what I mean? You see what I'm talking about? So I can't wait. I think this is just going to be one hell of a game. And the one thing that I will say, like I'm not the TMZ, and the one thing that I will say about Brady, and I think Jenna Lane of ESPN did have a good question for the GOAT. And she phrased it, because when he comes in, he does look a little bit thinner. He looks like he just, it's hard, you know, they're just the mannerisms. It just looks like maybe there is something weighing on his mind. But when he gets on the field, and that's all that really matters, right? He's Brady. He's seeing, and when he was telling us about the game plan, or he wasn't telling us about the game plan, he was going down about Dallas, and he was talking about the preparation. That's not changing. No matter what's going on in his personal life, he's not going to embarrass himself. Physically, his arm is still good. He's still studying the opponent, and he's got some weapons. And that's what I can tell you about Brady. All right, that's what I have observed under the rock here on Buccaneers Bucks kickoff. If you missed it, or if you're looking for something a little bit different but tasty, and you want to make sure you get satisfied, you've got to check out Burger Monger if you have not. They're in Carrollwood, they're in St. Pete, they're in Safety Harbor, they're in Wesley Chapel. If you're outside the area, you're coming to a Buccaneers game, you're going to visit Tampa Bay, just check out Burger Monger. Over 1/3-pound hand-pressed burger patties made from a blend of ground chuck and sirloin beef. They're hard-pressed on the grill and just perfect char. Maximum flavor. I'm a burger guy, and they're the best burger I've ever had. You can also craft your burger from, you got to go with the cheese, and they got a whole bunch of different cheeses, fresh toppings, sauces. And if you can't make up your mind, you want to try something new, check out their delicious house-crafted recipe burgers. They'll check out one of them. They know what they're doing. Also, if you're going to go to Burger Monger and you get your burger, you might as well get your shake. It's the Burger Monger Shake, natural hand-scooped ice cream, hand-spun thick and creamy, whipped cream on top, and a variety of toppings. 6 classic shake flavors. You ready? Very vanilla, simply strawberry, my favorite, chocolate fudge. Oh, cookies and cream. Caramel Crave, that's my wife's, and Snickers Supreme, that's my daughter's. One of their best kept secrets? Yes. Amazing chicken sandwiches. My wife's like, do they have a chicken sandwich? Do they have a chicken sandwich? It's a large marinated chicken breast. She got it grilled. You could get it fresh breaded or deep fried to order. And their sides, natural cut fries, boom. Sweet potato waffle fries, boom. House made hand battered onion rings. Ho, 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 ho. And last but not least, and limited time only, they got a burger for this Buccaneer season right now, the LFG. Let's freaking go burger. You ready for this? This bad boy is stacked with 2 patties, 12 ounces of beef, chopped lettuce, provolone cheese, applewood smoked bacon, fresh avocado slices, and it's finished with a drizzle of peppercorn ranch dressing. It is a winner, and it's only $12. You ain't going to finish it. You can save that for the next day or the day after that for $12. Burger Monger. Go check it out. All righty. You know, I do want to end on the Buccaneer defense, because so much is made of Brady, and why not? You know, he's going to be in all the photos and the trailers, they call him, you know, and Brady versus Prescott. And Brady the other day was like, it's our team against their team. It's not me against Dak Prescott. What about the Buccaneers defense? All right, let's start with I told you about the up front. We've done that. You know about Devin White and Levante David. All right, 2 of the best. Let's go with the corners. Carlton Davis, Jamel Dean. Carlton Davis is in his 5th season. He got the 3-year extension for a reason. Jamel Dean gets his hands on the ball. He's now in his 4th year. They're no longer young, this Buccaneer defensive secondary. They know the system. So this should be the year to get better. Their safeties, Winfield Jr., 3rd season now. He's a Pro Bowler. He can play the slot. He's a good blitzer. He's good versus the deep ball. Do you know that Antoine Winfield Jr. only allowed 2 catches over 20 yards all last year? He's solid. Mike Edwards is on the other side. I'm thinking they're going to miss Whitehead. Okay? I'm just being flat out honest with you. But Mike Edwards is somewhat of a ball hawk, and he won a job against with Anton Winfield. And at corner, it wasn't that Murphy Bunting didn't play bad. It's just that he was beaten out. And you've also got at safety, Logan Ryan is going to come in. Neal is your hitter. Ryan can play everywhere, including nickel. The defense the Buccaneers are banking on is more athletic, more athleticism. Look, Ndamukong Suh was an Iron Man, but he was older, okay? Jason Pierre-Paul was a warrior when he was here. There were days where I'd see him in the locker room and he could barely walk. And I'm like, there's no way in hell this guy's going to play. But he was done. Suh was old, and JPP was done. You bring in Akeem Hicks. He is a big man next to Vita Vea. He's a veteran. He knows what he's doing. Very soft-spoken, too. Almost like shy. But who cares? Nacho, Golston, they've got the power. It's going to take them a little longer to get to the quarterback than a Logan Hall. He's got the fast twitch. He can move. He's very quick, but he's still learning. But they're very, very athletic up front. The Buccaneers defense playing a lot of man coverage. I think Davis and Dean should be able to get the job done. The coaching staff told us that Jamel Dean beat out Sean Murphy Bunting. They judged it on a full body of work on one-on-ones, on the Dolphins and the Titans joint practices, on covering Evans and Julio Jones every day in practice. So congratulations to Jamel Dean. This is your chance here in this game, okay, with Carlton. And then Devin White says, and I know it's an old cliche, we got to stop the run first. They have two great backs. That's from Devin White. Devin White is like, you should see him in the locker room now. They got a little card table down near his locker with the linebackers, and he's playing cards, and he's always busting chops, and he looks like he's in great shape, and he's coming into his, this should be a big, big year for Devin White, okay? All I can say is, guys, I am honored to be back with JoeBucksFan.com for another season. This Buccaneer kickoff podcast that I'm going to do before every Buccaneer game, we're going to run, this baby's going to drop about 36 hours, give you a little bit more time before every Buccaneer game. So I'm honored to be here. I'm going to bring you 110% on preparation, what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing, and let's just enjoy this game. And we got a whole regular season with the GOAT. This only happens generational, baby. You got the greatest quarterback of all time and a new head coach, and let's do it. Thank you for listening and enjoy the game. This has been Bucks Kickoff Podcast, only on Badass Joe Bucks Fan.